Welcome to episode 17 and part 2 of my conversation with Jody Kovitz. Great day, amazing humans. Yes, welcome to the Own Your Thrive podcast and Empowered in My Skin production. My name is Nkechi Nwafor Robinson, and I am founder and CEO of Empowered in My Skin, an experienced technology executive at one of Canada's largest financial institutions, an author, an International Federation of Bodybuilding pro athlete, an inspirational speaker, and most recently, a viral sensation after my You Matter speech hit over 3 million views worldwide. This show is all about thriving, and I will be bringing on some amazing humans that own their thrive to help you figure out how you too can own yours. So please leave a review on whatever medium you are listening to this on, and make sure to join along on the web at empoweredinmyskin.com so you can be notified when new episodes are available. For now, I'm your girl. Let the show begin.
I can attest to that journey because, you know, my organization, where I work, is a strong supporter of yours. When I originally was introduced to Move the Dial, I felt some of that, right? Like, well, this is may not be for me, you know,
right.
But that's not where I stand on today. And I love the space. And, you know, we've even just in this last little while, like I actually will call you friend. Like I feel connected to you, and I appreciate the space that you've given me and without having to even know me. And so anyway, I'm very excited about your North Star and where you're taking everything. So thank you.
I appreciate that. But that, and I share that story because I hope that other community builders and people who are in leadership roles, who have the opportunity to choose, creating a space, you know, where people can feel they belong, we'll make that choice. It's deliberate. It's a hard road. It requires time and patience and building of trust, which takes years.
And that's good because I have one of the questions I did want to ask you is what can we do to expand our reach? And I mean, not to, like you're clearly demonstrating, don't just talk about it, but do it. Yeah. But for it to be meaningful and supportive of all, you know?
Yeah, I think there's that. It's a fantastic question. And it's something, you know, I've been working on articulating it in a concise way. I'll share a couple ideas for now because I'm not sort of done summarizing all that. I think one is you really need to listen. You have to be willing to listen. And I would say to anyone in a leadership role similar to what I've done, you know, it's a massive responsibility. And if you put up your hand to do it in any leadership capacity, but you better be willing to listen and take feedback when you get called in and when you get called out. Because yes, we all prefer to be called in, and that is the most humane and loving thing to do. But not everybody is able to or should be expected to. Because what I've learned as part of my journey is that there are people who have been on very long roads of many layers of history, of all kinds of pain and oppression and, you know, centuries and centuries of that. And, you know, that will come out, and that's okay. We need to create and enable space for that. And so it's really about how you respond when you're called in and when you're called out, and becoming quite, you have to do a lot of personal work and go above your own ego to understand that is just a way of listening and taking in the feedback. And then what do you do with the feedback?
That's big.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, I feel very blessed to have had those who have called me in, who've called me out, who've held my hand, literally teaching me how to do things differently. Mm-hmm. So the listening and then the taking the advice and acting on it, as well as then when you make mistakes again, because I've made many, like many, even with all that, even with how evolved my thinking is, I still make mistakes because I'm always going to be on the journey of learning. And I don't understand the lived experience of people with many different intersections. It's not one particular, we all have, you know, I've learned, we did a beautiful training at Move the Dial by Femininity, partners of ours at Move the Dial, yes. Dr. Sarah Saska. And she taught us all that we each have, you know, we can have 33 different intersections of our identity, some seen, some not seen. And, you know, we can't ever understand the lived experience of another human with all of their various intersections. Mm-hmm. So, but what I would say is, you know, being open and learning and acting on and bringing empathy to hold space and not being defensive, just taking it in as best mm-hmm. you can. And then building relationships with people mm-hmm. who can educate you, through which you can build trust.
Yeah.
And that those trusting relationships that take years to build, you know, are the absolute key to the success of Move the Dial. So then, you know, Move the Dial started to become much more relevant for all when through those trust relationships, which are, you know, trust is built by when you say you're going to do something and you do it, yeah. right? So I'll give you an example of that. I'll speak to Mayan Ziv, who's a very good friend of mine. And, you know, for years we've been building our relationship. But when I said, like, Move the Dial events will be inclusive and accessible. Mm-hmm. And I will not hold events that are in spaces that are not accessible. And if I book something and find out it's inaccessible, I will cancel it, or I will move it, or I will call out other people who are, you call in other people, actually is more my style, that were doing it. And then when she, you know, of course, started coming and speaking at our things, and that was true, her then becoming a champion of Move the Dial, saying, mm-hmm. I am, you know, a leader who lives with a disability. Sorry for the bing. I don't know how to turn off the sound of the bings while my
That's okay. That's okay.
So very transparently. But her raising up her hand and saying, I believe in what Move the Dial is doing, and it speaks to me, and then inviting in her community. That's how we do it. And one community at a time, or, you know, there's little pieces like that. But fundamentally, it comes down to another one of my North Star principles. You have to go out of your way.
Yes.
It could happen if you like carry along, right? Like, you know, when you look at people, for example, I'll give another example at our summit, right? You were there and you saw what you saw, right? I mean, I'd love to actually, will you share a little bit about, tell the listeners about our Move the Dial Global Summit last year and what you experienced. And then I'll tell you the recipe of how that happened.
Okay. So I have to do two. I was at the first one.
Okay. Double whammy. Yes.
Okay. So I was at the first one. And by the way, the first one was, it was amazing by all shapes and forms, because I do believe I'm an expansive thinker, but I do recognize it as my role as an inclusion and diversity. I felt that something was lacking in the first one. I did not have that feeling in the second one. In fact, I also recognized that I was part of the issue. And so I worked with you, and you helped me now extend an opportunity for many people in my community to come, and they showed up.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah, beautiful.
And you gave me space, you know, just to even be celebrated to be part of your event just meant the world to me, you know, and especially for those that did show up, because I corralled and encouraged them to come, to be able to even see what was possible just through my experience was fundamental. The learnings were great. The guests that you had were impeccable. Like, the whole event was just, it was almost as if you just rebuilt what the purpose of the summit was supposed to be, and making sure that all were included.
Thank you for that. So it's so interesting, and I love your feedback, and it's so meaningful. And what's such an interesting fact that people who plan events don't take into consideration is that it doesn't matter what's going on the stage. Okay. Mm-hmm. So year one, 50% of the 92 speakers were people of color. Mm. No different than year two. But what was different? What was different was who was in the room.
Room. Okay. Yes.
Okay. So if you looked and counted, and I never talked about the numbers, I just did it. That's very important, right? We were just like showing it. And when we did an ad and you could see it, Arlen Hamilton, you know, there's incredible leaders that came, and it was really about that perspective, but it wasn't enough. So what we had to do was we had to build relationships with leaders, galvanizers, community builders, from different communities, and invite them in a way that builds trust. And the way to do that is to enable it with no cost. Cost can be a barrier. Even if it's $10, it's a barrier to someone who doesn't trust you. So we gave, I think it was 1,000 tickets at no cost, and, you know, at great expense to, you know, the partners and sort of the spot, my amazing, you know, financial business partner, Jeff, who, but he believes, it's like, it's more important that the people come and they share it, and we're creating this magical moment, and I've got you, and I believe in the work. And it was so phenomenal. So then what happened was 35 community partners allotted basically as many tickets as they wanted.
I mean, yes.
You know?
Yeah.
and go get your people and hold yourself and bring in. And that was the key, because then what you felt in the room was the vibe of different people being included, people being welcomed in, people being welcome to lead and bring in the way that you with members of your community.
And to imagine, and people to imagine what is possible for them. Yeah.
Yes. And then, you know, the speakers on the stage were more alive and vibrant because of what the room was.
Yeah.
You know, like, look at Bozema. She usually goes to big rooms where she might look back at the room and 5% of the room looks like her. I've been at like that.
Yeah,
okay? But when she looked at the room, and so many people in the room were there to be with her and share space with her and could share heritage with her.
It was big.
A different vibe. She brought a different thing.
Yeah,
so that
the
magic is there, and it's an exchange of energy.
Yeah.
And you know, it certainly this was not in respect of only one dimension of inclusion. Mm-hmm. People would say to me, "You have a women in tech conference. Why do you have Spencer Stewart like opening the day?" He is one of the bravest, most inspiring humans I've ever seen in my life. And he identifies as LGBT, and he only has half of his body, and he has climbed Kilimanjaro. Like, fuck, we can do anything.
It's part of the mission. It's part of the it's okay. It's part of the mission.
But that's the mission, and it's way broader and bigger than women in technology. It's an ethos. And when you see it on the stage and you feel it in the vibe, and you provide, you know, different services that enable true inclusion. So there, a lot of what people didn't know was going on behind the scenes, right? We had a lactation room. We had free childcare. We had free, you know, translation services for those that are hard of hearing. We had one-on-one care for anyone who used a mobility device to make sure that the distance wasn't, they knew the path, the distance, and all of this. And it was my team, right? It's not me. It's a, yes, it's a leadership ethos, back to that. But it was my team. And it was our culture of like, this is just how we roll. And also bringing in partners like TD who really care deeply about enabling the community to come together for that magic. And the reason why we paused Move the Dial operations is I cannot create that magical experience virtually. I just can't.
Because
it's that in-person, I can do things, I can do content, and I can inspire people through my words and my thoughts and my feelings, but it's not about me. It's actually about the community energizing each other.
And I do have a question about you on that, but I also want to commend and just really touch on that trust factor, because one of the things I recognize is on your last Move the Dial stories event that you had, right? There were people that I know that are part of this women's group, like that, and a lot of the African women that I corralled to come, that also joined and dialed in because everyone's like, "Are you on the Move the Dial? Are you on the Move?" And I was just really excited about that energy, because it was more than just an event then.
Yes,
it was them now feeling they were belonging, part of the mission and the movement.
Totally, and you know, our last in-person Move the Dial stories was our Black History Month event.
Yes.
It was, you know, for me, and I'm being moved to tears just thinking it, you know, it was our first event, 500 people were there, that was 98% people of color.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Coming together, owning and holding Move the Dial, right, as their own expression, and it was, you know, our collective expression, but feeling, you know, the energy in the room that day.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting. And I, you know, very candidly, I called Sarah, who's my, you know, coach on many inclusion things, and said, I was really upset. There were so few white people. Like, where are the allies and where are the champions? She said, no, it's okay. It's okay to create spaces that feel safe and beautiful and celebrated in that don't actually have, you know, all the people that are usually in the majority there. And that was a really big learning for me. I don't know if you were there.
I will tell you very honestly that that same day, later on in the day, I spoke at some.
Remember, I saw you. Yes, we had that. Okay. Yes.
And I had a life-changing event, a life-changing experience at the Move the Dial event.
Oh.
I did not leave the same person. And it was funny because it scared me at first because I didn't know what it was. It was just, I almost get emotional now. It was very, it was strong. I can feel it took my energy, and not in a bad way. It just took me quiet for a bit. It took me quiet into myself. And then I knew I had this speaking engagement where I'm supposed to go and inspire and motivate this organization. And the first words I said to them when I stepped on that stage is, I was at a Move the Dial event this morning. Something happened in that room that changed me, and I haven't fully unpacked it yet. So I stand before you in all of my truth. And I realized as I was talking to somebody on the way to their event, the word that she said that I realized is what is probably informing this feeling of change it has, which was potential. Remember, there was a woman that talked about your potential?
Yes.
And ever since then, like, I'm not the same person since that event, you know? So thank you for creating that space.
I'm crying now listening to you, but I do remember, and I actually got very sick after that event and went in my bed for 9 days.
Wow.
Literally that afternoon I got home, but it was a very powerful morning for me and for you, and sharing that space with you. And, you know, it was, I expect that Move the Dial will be back in version 2.0, but for that period of time, it was a very special moment.
Okay, so Jody, let's just go in a little bit of a different direction. So back to this season that we're in with COVID and where people are, and learning as we started this podcast that you are a transition coach. I had no idea. But I hear the passion, I hear the desire that you have to help people. And so what's that going to look like? Like, what do you believe that you'll be able to help people with?
So it's a great question. I have had the beautiful experience of transitioning through different careers a number of times over my 20-year professional life. And the gift of the mindset to prepare for the shift, the deliberate planning and execution at each of those stages have manifested in my journey. And I feel very blessed to have experienced that, and I feel very excited about sharing my strategies, sort of mindset and inspirational pieces, but just as, if not more importantly, practically guiding and supporting people through transitions, specifically, you know, professionally as well as personally. Certainly, I've been through many of those as well in my own life, but I focus on helping people identify when they have a calling towards a purpose and or a circumstance is forced upon them that results in them having to think through who they are, what they can offer, and what to choose next to be able to guide them through it. And, you know, I mentor tons of women, and I've practiced this approach many times over with all of the women that I've mentored and a number of people that I've coached over the years. And it really all starts with identifying sort of tactics to quiet down enough to listen to the calling, to write about it, to explore it, to meditate on it, to walk in nature with your heart set open to it and allow it to come in. Then to be able to listen to that as really what is, you know, I use the word, what is your truest passion? Mm. What is calling your heart? And marry it to your bundle of skills that only you can do. What is the special set of skills that only you hold? And of the special things that only you can do, I believe that the marriage between those skills, which are often much more transferable than the person can see for themselves, to your area of passion is what I call your superpower. So my coaching is really about helping you identify what is your superpower and how can we create some practical next steps for you to open to receiving an opportunity that lines up with what your superpower is, and also helping bridge a bunch of connections for people that go out of your way to create opportunities for people to connect to others, to potentially embrace those opportunities. Mm-hmm. And on an overall basis, really give people a path and a process through which to manage their transition when it seems so uncertain and difficult and overwhelming as a whole, you know, climb to Everest versus, you know, up to base camp one and down.
So with somebody, with you qualifying that you've had numerous transitions over time, and somebody hearing that and now excited and maybe wondering, is this for me, right? Like, what would be some of the telltale signs that you might be needing a transition or, you know, jump off that bridge and transition in air?
I think it, you know, everybody will be in their own place. I think in this particular moment, there's a lot of people that are finding themselves in a necessary transition due to circumstance, whether they've been laid off, whether they are they're an entrepreneur and their company's revenues have dried up, or they've had to pause their operations and they have to, you know, by circumstance, reinvent themselves, or by this sort of national global emergency waking us up to our value set, our ethos, our North Star that we talked about earlier, and recognizing that there's something calling inside of them that, you know, there is a transition at bay, and how do we work through this time, even if it's not to be executed immediately? What's the process and the steps that we should take to think through from A to B and B to C, and sort of work through that process to get to a place where we know we're headed on the path towards the calling or the greatness or the vision that we have for ourselves? And sometimes it's not a direct line. Sometimes there are intentional stops along the way where you have to go gather skills, gather experience, develop network, but you know that you're headed in the direction once you've done enough very intentional work to understand what you see for yourself long term and where the gaps are in terms of your experience, and you need to go develop it. In terms of, you know, if people are interested, you can email me at jody@movethedial.com, certainly to reach me to inquire about the services. We're about to launch our Shopify store, which you'll be able to find from movethedial.com, so that you can actually buy this as a gift for someone. If you have a employee or a friend or colleague or family member who is, you know, in a moment of transition and you're looking to find them a gift that will be meaningful and want some support, I've actually significantly discounted my rates for the purpose of gift cards so that people can purchase for somebody else to provide them with that as a gift. And, you know, as is my way always, if somebody is not able to afford my rates but really needs the support, I will always find a way to enable that and make that happen. And of course, I do, you know, a significant amount of pro bono work. So the Shopify store will be able to be found at shop.movethedial.com. And certainly, you know, through our website, just movethedial.com. And super excited for anybody who's interested to go there to purchase gift certificates for a gift, or to reach out to me directly if you'd like to inquire about my services.
And if you look into the show notes, you're going to see all of the links that she's just shared with us, plus any others that your Twitter and your Instagram. Yes. I'll make sure that we put that as well.
And some big news is my book is now available for purchase on our Shopify store as well.
Wicked!
It was meant to come out in the fall with a big book tour and a whole bunch of things, but we've decided to just make it available and people can read it. And it's really about my story and the ethos of going out of your way and being able to carry on the movement of Move the Dial way beyond the operations, because it really is a movement that belongs to all of us.
And I love that.
You have it with you.
Yes, I do. And I have a question for you. See, I highlighted you in your book.
Oh,
you can't see my highlights. So I have a question, because just because you say that, I'm going to go back. This wasn't the forward. Hold on. No, this is your words. Because you said something that I loved, and it was good. It will be my last question for you then, if you can in that way. So you said, my intent is to use this book to share my relative power and privilege to advance and support women of all identities. My hope is that the approaches I've shared can be combined and personalized with your unique lens to inspire dynamic dial moving results. You then go on to say, my ideas reflect a particular moment in time, and like all things in life, will change. And it's funny, because I was inspired to ask you, in light of that, what will be the message, if you can sort of imagine, of your next book? Because I know there will be another.
Yeah.
And what do you believe that would be? if you had to write a book now based on
The writing I've been doing lately has been very focused on getting through this moment and concepts around humanity and resiliency. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll share the name of the book that I'm working on, my next book, In Grace and Gratitude.
Ooh, that's beautiful.
So there it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm playing with it and I'm working it. And it really is about very specific approaches, mindset, tactics to surviving and thriving, back to the theme of your podcast, in times of beauty, in ease, and in uncertainty as well.
And I love that. And, you know, Jody, thank you. Thank you for ending on that, because it literally gave me like body goosebumps, because grace is the one thing that I believe will carry us a long way, especially through what we're going through now. And gratitude needs to be the armor that we're wearing, right? So there's so much to be grateful for than fearful of. And so I'm grateful for you.
Thank you. I'm grateful for you.
I'm grateful that you're in my life and that you're also a conduit. One thing that I'm learning from you is your board of directors. And what I mean by that is your supporting cast,
yes, of course,
that you have, your advisors, you know, the different people in your life is so important. And I'm looking forward to continuing my journey with you and learning how to, you know, strengthen my board of directors, you know.
We will do that.
Yes. And I encourage everyone to look up Jody. To get more of her. She is really awesome. And Jody, I can't wait to see all that is going to be your North Star. So,
well, thank you so much. You're a beautiful soul. I'm grateful for your energy, and have a beautiful day. And I'll look forward to talking to you soon.
And to everyone that's listening, this is where I say we're out.
So there you have it. I hope you're thriving and thoroughly enjoyed this episode. And remember, whatever medium you are listening to this on, please subscribe, like, review, and share this podcast with somebody else that you think could benefit from the tips that were delivered. Because when we share, that is truly when we have the capacity and the power to change the world. It's been awesome hanging with you. It's your girl, and I'm out.